This is so important. I think if my 34 years of priesthood has taught me anything, it's taught me this, both to do it myself, which I'm trying to do, but I've seen it from others, and it's crazy. Do not judge. Can I shout that a bit louder? Do not judge. People judge. Extraordinary. Did you find that? Did you do it yourself? People judge other people. It is stupid. And you know it's stupid. All you've got to do is reflect when people have judged you wrongly. And if you have never been judged wrongly, come along and I'll have a go. I mean, I can't believe it that no one's misjudged you. And when they misjudge you, isn't it stupid? They don't know. They don't know how you feel. They don't know what's happened. They don't know why you've done what you do. They haven't got a clue. And they're judging you. And you feel, well, you feel violated, don't you? Because it's just so wrong. But they can be so sure. And it's simply stupid, apart from anything else. Jesus says, don't do it. Now, the word he uses, krino, is the Greek. There is another word for judge in Greek, diakrino, which means to make judgments, to discern, to tell right from wrong. That's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about making judgments. You've got to make judgments as long as you're humble and sensible and prudent and seek the truth and all that. We make judgments, but not about people and their motivation and their why they're doing what they're doing and where they get wiped and put down, and you sit in judgment on them as though you've got some rights over them. Not that. But if you see someone doing something stupid and it's stupid, call it stupid, and you're probably right. Isn't that important? To name things? And isn't it important to warn each other and correct each other sometimes, as long as we do it with love and humility? Please, God, I'd rather have you correct me than keep doing wrong things. And you'd rather me do it to you, I bet. I remember a young woman at university when I was there once, she was about 20, I suppose, and I saw her, whatever, her behaviour, whatever it was, wasn't helping her, I could tell that. So priests have got this incredible ego, they think they can do anything, get away with anything. So I called her into my room and just said, look, I noticed this, I really think it's not helping you very much. She started to cry a bit and she said, thank you. She said, no one has corrected me since I left boarding school. She did a terrible damage, that girl, because I then went round correcting everybody, and I'll still do it. She started a pattern. No, but I thought, wasn't her response interesting? She was grateful, because of course she knew I did, because I cared for her. But she was grateful, because how can you find out what you're doing unless someone tells you? So we've got to make judgments about ourselves, other people, behaviour, but we don't judge them. We don't put them down and declare that we know them, etc. He says, otherwise, if you don't judge others, you won't be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged. Not because God is going to tit for tat again, but because, well, that's how it is. If I'm harsh in judgment on you, then what on earth's going on in here is worth asking. You don't have to be a depth psychologist to pick it up. And my own sense of self is going to be very distorted. Why do you see the speck in your neighbour's eye and don't notice the log in your own? How can you say to your neighbour, let me take the speck out of your eye, while the log is in your own eye? You can't even see. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own and then you'll see clearly and take the speck out of your neighbour's eye. And James says, don't forget, these are all people, including Jesus, who know that God is love. So they're not talking about revenge from God, or judgment will be without mercy to the one who's shown no mercy. Because if I don't show you mercy, I can't receive it. That's the problem. And isn't that true? Psychologically. If you find yourself being harsh in judgments of others, just go away quietly somewhere and ask yourself, how do you judge yourself? And I bet you don't do it too well. And if you find that, try and find somebody in this big world who might like you. I hope you don't have to go to the phone book. but find somebody who might have a hesitant liking of you and go and ask them for a bit of love. Would you do that? We need love, we who judge others harshly, because then we soften and then we realise how beautiful it is to be forgiven, don't we? And then you forgive others. It kind of goes like that. Because you know how much joy it gives, and then the problems go. And you're back to these people. Romans, you've no excuse, whoever you are, when you judge others, for in passing judgment on another, you're condemning yourself. 1 Corinthians 4, don't pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. I don't know the purposes of your heart, so I cannot judge you. And if I do, I'm a fool. Not only a fool, a very harmful fool. So don't judge me, and don't let us judge each other. But let us, with humility, look at life the best we can, make judgments and act accordingly. But you can always do that, can't you, without putting anyone down or wiping them or thinking you know their motivation. Straight away, Matthew gives us a verse which is only in Matthew, and I think it's quite related to what I've just said. It's about needing to discern, lest we misunderstand that business about judgment. He says, don't give what's holy to dogs. Have some brains. Love with your mind as well. Don't be just a naive, whole world's beautiful, because it ain't. So don't give what's holy to dogs. Don't throw your pearls before swine, or they'll trample them underfoot and turn and maul you. Remember when Jesus says, if you go to a town and offer peace and they don't want it, well, just shake the dust off your feet and go somewhere else. Don't hang around just to be lashed by somebody. Leave it. Go. That statement, by the way, I've quoted to you here from a very ancient document, one of the earliest catechisms of the church called the Didache. You may have heard it under that. It's called the Teaching of the Apostles. Very early catechism. Dating is very difficult, but it seems to be quite early, perhaps even earlier than a lot of the Gospels. And in there we read, let no one eat or drink of your Eucharist except those who've been baptized in the Lord's name. For concerning this also did the Lord say, don't give what is holy to dogs. So quite early, very early, this enigmatic statement of Jesus was applied to the Eucharist. It's a beautiful gift, and don't just give it because people want it. Check that there's faith and understanding. So in other words, be discerning.